97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Happy to be with you here. You can find me online at Ryan Recker on Twitter, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Big news today. I mean, this really goes beyond just music. Ozzy Osbourne, a cultural phenomenon, maybe that's a good way to put it, pop culture icon, rock legend, passing away at the age of 76 this morning. And joining us now to discuss of KSH fame, Randy Raley. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. I always hate to say my pleasure when we're talking about somebody as iconic as Ozzy passing, but it is good to talk with you today. Thank you.
Okay, so let's throw out a couple of things that people generally know about Ozzy. You have Black Sabbath, you have his solo work, you have his reality show, you have him biting a head off of a bat. So let's say four things. What in what order do you think people most know him for?
Oh, his career, his solo career for sure. He was one of those guys who reinvented himself and surrounded him with great musicians. And so he again left a very, very popular band. And then I think he found even greater heights with his solo stuff. And then there's Black Sabbath, probably the very first heavy metal band. And I think the very first Black Sabbath record that I owned was the first one. And it scared my mom. I mean, and so when you got an album that scares your parents, it endears it to you even more. And so they made music that was scary. It was loud and it was in your face. And, you know, and I think that's the thing that establishes Black Sabbath. I mean, Black Sabbath got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by themselves. Ozzy got in by himself. So he's in there twice. And so it's, one of those things that we kind of have grown up with Ozzy. His first solo release was in 1981, and that one featured Crazy Train. And again, I was doing radio in Kansas City at the time that his first solo album came out. We weren't quite sure what to make of it because it's like, we hadn't heard anything like this before. And of course, the rest is history. It went on to sell a gazillion copies, and that established him for the rest of his career. And I can tell you, I had the opportunity to talk to Ozzy twice, and he's just a very lovely, sweet man. I will use that word when talking to him. He was just very sweet and kind of very humble. He was almost huggable, if you know what I mean. but he was just a lovely man, and I'm saddened by this. I mean, we're in a state now where all of our rock heroes are going to start falling like dominoes. And when somebody as a cultural icon, as you call him, like Ozzy dies, I mean, these people that we've listened to for a long time, 1981, that's a long time. They become kind of our friends and kind of people that we count on when we go to, when things are kind of down. What do you go? You go play your favorite music. Who's your favorite music by? It could be by Ozzy. So, vicariously, they have a way to kind of worm their way into our psyche. And when somebody like Ozzy dies, it's kind of not in the same vein, but it's kind of like a cousin or somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
They've been a part of your life for so long.
Okay. Did you meet Ozzy in person ever during his appearances?
Yes, I met him twice. I met him once in Kansas City.
In person, Bulford. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I met him once in St. Louis, and it was after I had played a very, probably not very well thought out April Fool's prank on the radio, and I had to apologize for it the next day, and it happened to be the day that Ozzy was in the studio, and I turned off the microphone, and he looked at me, and he goes, "So what'd you do, man? What'd you do?" And yeah. So we talked about it, and he was great, and he thought it was funny, but he was always very willing to play along. And when it came to something that you wanted to do on the air, or if you wanted to do liners, station ID, or all of that, he was always willing to play along. And I always just found him to be, like I said, a very sweet man and a very nice guy.
Well, I mean, St. Louis will love. They'll have that connection, him wearing the Blues jersey in that mugshot. So they'll always have that connection with Ozzy Osbourne. Okay, so you meet Ozzy Osbourne. You've seen him in studio. What did you get in trouble for? What did you have to apologize for? Because I'm like Ozzy. I want to know.
Well, I the day before, I did an April Fool's Day prank. You know, this was 1986, and I had just, you know, it was stupid, but, you know, I got in real big trouble for it. And so he came into studio on April 2nd. And so while I'm apologizing on the air for what I did the day before on April 1st, Ozzy's like, so what did you do that got you in all of this trouble? And I told him, and he just thought it was funny. You know,
yeah, tell me, what did you do?
Okay, well, it's 1986, and so we're in this kind of shoving match with Libya. Okay, they had shot down one of our planes, and we were mad at them. And I had said on the air over at the other station, it was April Fool's, and Libyan jets based in Cuba had bombed the entire eastern coastline of the United States. They were working their way in, and the final solution was is they bombed the water tower in Arnold. And so apparently somebody took offense to that and thought it was real, and I got hauled into the program director's office early the next morning, and everybody was mad, and who do you think you are? And I thought it was funny, and everybody else thought it was funny, but the management didn't think it was funny. Ozzy thought it was funny. He thought it was hilarious. So, yeah, and you just, you know, stuff like that. You just, you know, he was just, like I said, very down to earth. And his wife, even back then, was, you know, pretty much had control of his career. And you got to love the TV show he did. You know, I mean, that was just so much fun. And you got an idea how much fun he could be on that TV show. But, you know, I'm sad, you know, but like I said, you know, these guys are going to start falling like dominoes. We've reached that point in our life. But, you know, the guy who abused his body so badly lives to be 76. There's hope for us all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, you've made it when a lot of people can do an impersonation of you. And so many people can do Ozzy Osbourne impersonation. In some ways, he's known for it. So you get to meet him in person. You get to see him behind the scenes, what it's like. So when you were interviewing him, did you have to listen extra closely, trying to really catch every word coming out of his mouth?
He was hard to understand. No, seriously, he was hard to understand. And the joke in the radio business and the rock radio business was, how many questions did you get into an Ozzy Osbourne interview before you understood one thing he said? And I think the over-under was like two or three. But yeah, you'd ask him a question, and he'd be like, "Well, you know, man, So it was difficult at times listening to what he had to say. But again, it was all in the spirit of things. You knew that going into the interview as a radio guy. You knew that this was just, "Hey, man, I'm really talking to Ozzy Osbourne," kind of thing, more than anything else. You know,
isn't that something? Joining us here of Casey fame, Randy Rayleigh, and I love old radio station stories. It's so foreign to think someone like an Ozzy Osbourne would walk in and the fame that they have in the world into your little radio station. That stuff doesn't happen anymore. These big time musicians, they don't just go to radio stations like they used to.
Well, I'll tell you the quick story of what happened in Kansas City. I was working at a radio station that had an AM FM television. And so coming in and out of the back door at night, you had all of these vans and cameras and reporters and everything. And back then in 1981, you know, you really didn't think about much security. So I was doing the night show in Kansas City, and Ozzy was scheduled to come by. I think it was about 7:20 at night or so. But about 6:30, I announced that Ozzy was coming by, and I didn't think anything of it. The radio station was down a really long hall. So I get up and go out of the studio and walk down the hall, and the place is packed with kids. And I mean, they all are lined up all the way down the hall, all the way down the stairs. And the TV people are freaking out because it's like, what are all of these kids doing in our work? And they were all lined up. And actually, I got the cops called on me by the general manager of the TV station. and the cops and Ozzy showed up at the exact same time. And it was like, the cops are like, well, what do you want us to do? Arrest these kids? And it ended up that Ozzy stuck around and signed everything, took every picture, even posed with the cops. And it was, you know, and that's just the kind of the guy who he was. He was big into his fans. He loved his fans. And, you know, and reciprocally, his fans loved him. And you knew that he loved his fans because it was all about, you know, doing music, for the people that listen to him. And, you know, going all the way back, man, he got into our conscience in 1970. That's a long time ago. And for him to be a part of rock music for that long, you know, when you come upon a death like this, yeah, it hurts, man. It's another chink in our armor. It's another chink in our armor and another thread to our past that's cut away. So, but, you know, the thing about it is his music lives on, and his fans will continue to listen to his music. And hey, man, isn't that something that, you know, he can be proud of, is that his music will be listened for generations.
And he got to say goodbye. I mean, he just did that concert like a week and some ago. You actually get to say goodbye to your fans. It's a rarity anymore. One other thing, you know, I brought this up earlier, but the idea that he had that connection with St. Louis, because in that mugshot, he's wearing the St. Louis Blues jersey. Is there any chance Casey gave him that jersey? Like, is there any way possible that you're associated with that?
No, I don't think so. I think that was Ozzy just picking up the shirt going, well, you know, this looks pretty cool, you know, and that's probably all that was that Ozzy thinking it was cool. So, no, and I think, you know, St. Louis was behind Ozzy, so was Kansas City. He was, you know, big in the Midwest because, you know, we like our rock and roll here. And again, you know, to start out in 1970 and then, you know, to play your last concert 2 weeks before you die. Now, isn't that the way to go? And I mean, you talk about going out on top, to leave behind a legacy like that and a performance like that. You know, it's just kind of serendipity or kismet or something like that. But I just think it's cool that everybody got to take one last bow, that they all got to take one last bow from the stage, and Ozzy got to see the love for him. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he's gone.
Yep. All right. Well, I got to say, it's kind of fun reminiscing. And we know there's a lot of great talent that has great memories when they make it to St. Louis, except for Guns N' Roses. Other than that, I think for the most part, most rock bands enjoyed St. Louis. Randy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you at that show?
No, you're right.
By any chance, were you at that show when Guns N' Roses shut things down?
No, but I can see that when Axl Rose had to make a public apology, and so he made it on my show, and it went like this. He went, "I'm sorry," click.
He's on the line. He's on the line for 3 seconds.
And so it was. Yeah, he fulfilled his obligation, but it wasn't very contrite, if you know what I mean.
So basically what you're saying is when there's an apology, they listen to your show, either from you or Axl Rose or someone else.
Somebody, yeah. Hey, go figure. But no, that was a part of his deal, that he had to make a public apology, and they chose my afternoon show at the other station. I said, "Axl, what do you got to say?" And he goes, "I'm sorry," click.
Right. All right, Randy Rayleigh, thank you so much for sharing some of your memories of Ozzy Osbourne. And I know a lot of people are going to be talking about it. It's kind of a, you know, a sad thing, a long time coming. I think a lot of people always joked about him and like Keith Richards. How in the world are they still around? But you're right. All of these different people that have been here, you know, playing music since the 60s, they're not going to be here forever because it's 2025. Nope. And even if they're in their 20s, we're talking they're in their 80s now. So.
There's no question. So Ozzy started 55 years ago. He's been a part of our life for 55 years. So, yeah, this is that. It's going to hurt. Yeah.
Yep. Randy Rayleigh, thank you so much for joining us here. We really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Thanks very much. Y'all have a good day.
Well, of Casey fame, and I know if I ever need to craft a public apology, I know who to go to help with the rough draft. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk. I see that President Trump called Jay Powell a numbskull again, or was it a knucklehead last time? It was a numbskull. This is, I thought that was so funny last week. I was caught off guard that on Fox News, in their top of the hour newscast, they played just the soundbite of Donald Trump calling Jerome Powell a knucklehead. So what did Trump say? Can I listen to clip number 22? I want to hear what he said this time.
I think he's done a bad job, but he's going to be out pretty soon anyway. In eight months, he'll be out. But he's, I call him too late. He's too late all the time. He should have lowered interest rates many times. People aren't able to buy a house because this guy is a numbskull. He keeps the rates too high and probably doing it for political reasons.
Because this guy is a numbskull. Another great soundbite that I think radio stations can use until the end of time. If you're looking to fill a soundboard of Donald Trump sounds, I think this one and also the last one he had last week definitely would make the cut. All right. One part of me wants to play some of these Hunter Biden clips. The other part of me wonders, does anyone care what Hunter Biden thinks? And I think the answer is no. But it's almost comical. It's almost humorous to hear the mastermind, the smartest person that Joe Biden knows, discuss some current events, one of which was George Clooney. We played that one already. Let's see what Hunter Biden thinks about Donald Trump's immigration policies. Can we play clip number six?
People are really upset about illegal immigration. You. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you have food on your table? Who do you think washes your dishes? White men in America are 45 more times likely to commit a violent crime than an immigrant. If I became president in 2 years from now, or 4 years from now, or 3 years from now, I would pick up the phone and call President El Salvador and say, you either send them back or I'm going to invade.
Okay, so his campaign promise is elect me so I can reverse all of the illegal immigrants that were deported so I can force them to come back into our country. That would be his campaign promise. Now, that would be quite the promise to stump on. Let's go to clip number seven. This is why the Democrats lost in 2024.
I will tell you why we lost the last election. We lost the last election because we did not remain loyal to the leader of the party. That's my position. We had the advantage of incumbency. We had the advantage of an incredibly successful administration. And the Democratic Party literally melted down.
Yeah.
And or portions of it, portions of it. Looking forward, what I think that we have to do is we have to recognize that we accomplished amazing things in those 2 years and 4 years of the last administration.
Okay. Now, political strategist Hunter Biden was visiting the White House often when Joe was the president, and he was even rumored to be going to these high-level cabinet meetings, places where he had no business being. If this is the advice he's giving them, maybe we should thank him. Maybe we should thank him for all the bad advice that he gave, and I'm sure Joe Biden was pushing for the Democrats to listen to. And this reminds me of that great scene from The Waterboy, if you remember, Adam Sandler movie, where he becomes, you know, from The Waterboy to one of the biggest linebackers in all of football. He's playing college ball. And part of it is his popularity and people looking at it. He shows up to a children's football camp. Lawrence Taylor's teaching these kids football. And The Waterboy, you know, he kind of stumbles and he mumbles and he stutters and he's talking to these kids. And at the end of his speech, Lawrence Taylor looks at it and says, "That reminds me, kids, don't do crack." I feel like we're having a Waterboy moment trying to listen to Hunter Biden justify these things. He also has a theory of why Joe Biden lost the big debate, the one where everyone got to see the real Joe Biden. This is clip number eight.
I'll tell you what, I know exactly what happened in that debate. He flew around the world, basically, the mileage that he could have flown around the world three times.
Yeah.
He's 81 years old. He's tired as shit. Give him Ambien to be able to sleep. He gets up on the stage and he looks like he's a deer in the headlights.
Okay, so he just traveled too much. I mean, it has nothing to do with his mental state. It has nothing to do with his capabilities or his age. It's just because, you know, he was so busy traveling. He's the jet setter that we have to give him a break. I still think one of the greatest things, the analysis of all of that, came from Greg Gutfeld from Fox News. And he said the media wasn't upset that Joe Biden screwed up the debate. The media was upset that you, the viewer, got to see him for who he was for the first time. They got to see Joe Biden the way that everyone else in the media has decided to try to hide the persona, the capabilities, the mental state, the way Joe Biden has fallen over the years. They did everything they could to try to hide that from the American people, and they weren't upset that he has fallen so far. They were upset that you got to see it. And now the people got to judge him based on that, wondering if he should have been president or not. It led to a very stubborn moment where I'm sure they forced him down if he knew it or not. They put in Kamala Harris in the last second, some of which may be because they could spend the fundraising money, and they blew $1 billion and now are in debt because of how bad all of this was bungled, because you tried to take this to the last second with someone you knew wasn't capable of serving another term. So I don't know if Hunter Biden wants to admit those things, but those are just the facts. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. When we come back, George Rosenthal is joining us, one of the owners of ThrottleNet. And there was a recent piece about when you click I agree online, what that actually does. I'm going to ask him about it. Get ready to be scared. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Always a awesome time when I get a chance to spend time with you. And I got to say, if you want to reach me after the show, at Ryan Recker on Twitter, that's one way to do it. Joining us now as one of the owners of ThrottleNet, George Rosenthal. Thank you for coming on again.
And I appreciate it. Good talking to you guys.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of tech issues out there. I wanted to get your take on something because I'm always wondering when I go onto a website and they make you click the box, I agree. Okay.
Yes.
What happens after you click that box? Are you signing your soul away to the devil?
Well, it depends on the agreement. Personally, if you say TikTok, yes, you're signing away your soul to the Communist Party of China. If it's a different app or most other apps, no, it's not that bad. Apple's got a very, very serious policy when it comes to how they collect their data or how they collect your data. And when you accept it, you're accepting all terms. So that is something that, you know, and there's a couple different kinds of this. One of them is called click wrap, and it's wrapping you into a contract or into an agreement. So the clicking side of it, where I agree, click, the courts will hold that up in favor of the vendor, not you, because you're supposed to have read before you click the agree button. If you have trouble not reading all of that, you can always find the way to the policy they're trying to get you to agree to, highlight, copy, and paste it into like OpenAI or ChatGPT, and then tell ChatGPT, give me a bulleted summary of what this is collecting. And it will tell you in a very brief summary what kind of data it's taking from you before you click that I agree button. But once you do, you're agreeing to everything that's in that policy.
I love that idea. I've never considered doing that, using AI for that way. I am very curious now. You know, I understand
use AI for everything.
Well, there have been companies in the past that have put out these little, hey, click here to agree. No one ever reads them. And I forgot what the company was. I think it was a video game maker. They put it inside. Basically, if you email this, we'll give you $500. The first person that does it. And it took years for someone to finally read that and then email them to claim the prize. They put a prize inside of it to go to show you no one reads these things.
That's why I would definitely say use AI to read them for you, tell them what is going on, and then you can agree to that. The other one is called basically browse wrap. If you show up to a website and you don't read the privacy policy in the footer of the webpage, you're just agreeing to it by default. The courts will hold that up. As long as the vendor or the company gives you the ability to read the policy, it's not hidden. It's able to be clicked through either in the footer or in the navigation of the website. Once that's out there, you're agreeing to that just by visiting the website.
I don't like that either. I don't like agreeing to anything. So is there any way to get around that? Can I get around it anyway?
The key thing is just know that all of your data is being collected, and that's everything from your purchases to where you go geographically with your phones tracking you. I have Amazon Echoes. They're listening to everything I say. As long as you're not doing anything really, really stupid, you should be just fine in the world. The key is just making sure that if you have anything protected at all, it's your children's data, as long as you can possibly hold out on protecting it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because I know that the big meme that everyone's really overplaying is that Coldplay concert. And, I'm sure you've seen it. It's like everyone is doing this. So they're playing the concert and they have the Jumbotron up and they're showing people in the crowd, and it shows the one guy and he's behind her, kind of like the old prom photos. And he's got his arm around her, and then they see it and they hide. And then all of a sudden people are wondering, what's that all about? Well, of course, he was, infidelity. He was cheating on his wife, whatever. So I shouldn't say whatever to dismiss that. That's a pretty big thing. But still, it ends up becoming this giant viral meme. and now he resigns and their lives are ruined and all these different things. And the first thing I thought about was, if it was just one moment on a Jumbotron for the world to see, can a tech company or the government hypothetically use a Jumbotron or something along those lines to ruin your life in 3 seconds? And I thought, absolutely they could. They've collected so much data on us over the years. They could do the Jumbotron moment of our individual life linked back to us if they ever felt they wanted to ruin us, couldn't they?
100%. Yes, because everything's in the cloud. Every picture I've ever taken on my phone is not on my phone. It's in the cloud. Every email is in the cloud. Everything socially I've ever posted on any social media platform is out there for the world to see and notice. In fact, had those people not ducked for cover, there's probably a 90% chance they would have never been discovered or found out. But as soon as that woman's video went viral on her phone and people went out and saw that on Instagram, she posted on Instagram, a guy used what's called Clear View AI, and it literally can look at a crowd of people walking on a sidewalk and pick out everybody's face and identify them.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like any of this.
Clearview, it's all real and it's all happening. And the fact is that somebody took that woman's video from Instagram, fed it into Clearview AI, identified who he was because he's out there on LinkedIn, he's out there on all the Facebook and LinkedIn, and it was an immediate snowball from there. Then it ends up on Reddit and it goes viral. So yes, the answer is all of your data is out there. And I'm not talking just personal stuff, birthday, social number. I mean, where you travel. How often do you go to the gym? What gym do you go to? Are you going during classes of that gym? Because the classes are scheduled on their website. So all that data can be farmed. What are you purchasing on Amazon and Target? All of that data is sold to everybody. So it's not just your birthday and social number. Everything about your entire life, if it's done on that phone or on a web browser, it's being tracked.
How appealing is it to you to live the Ted Kaczynski life, just in a shack in the woods, away from technology, resenting it all? Not necessarily the bombing side of it, but I mean just like the get off the grid altogether.
Right. I mean, I would probably be good with it for about a couple of weeks, and then as a techie nerd, I would probably go nuts, and I would need my tech back, yeah.
Okay, is there any tech out there that could protect you from this? So are there any companies that are like, you know what, we want to do the opposite. We're going to specifically create things that stop this stuff from happening.
Yeah, there are many companies out there. You know, we don't resell any of their products, but there's so many companies out there that will they'll wipe your identity from different parts of the internet or the entire internet if that's what you're looking for. It can get pricey. It's not cheap to do, but there are companies that will do that. And go out and clean off any bad reputations you have. And they'll do that for your company as well. If you get a 1-star review, you can go out and they'll start negotiating with Google on your behalf to try and fix that review. So there are a lot of options. To be totally safe is don't do anything silly like go to a concert with a bunch of cameras and while you're cheating on somebody. that's the ultimate safety. That's the ultimate safety, is not going somewhere where there's cameras looking for people like you standing at a spotlight. But otherwise, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, everywhere you go, somebody's got them in their hands. There's cameras on the light poles. They're everywhere. And then everything that you do as far as online activity is combined in with that. And then they throw facial recognition on the street cams, and now you can see everything. So it's with AI, it's inevitable. The key is just don't do anything silly, and you'll be fine.
Don't like that. That's not the key. I don't like any of this. Doesn't matter if
it's
silly or not.
Done, but
okay.
Yes.
Well, let me say this. Okay, I'm going to just throw the old conspiracy stuff at you. This is the conclusions I've come to. Let's say your phone is tracking you. It knows your purchases at Target and Amazon. It knows what yoga class you go to at the gym and all these different things.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, there's a suspect. And that suspect was driving down this street at this time. And police are able to cross-reference that to people that happen to be in the area regularly at this time. And, oh, how about that? You just happen to go to this yoga class. And now you are implicated in a crime you didn't commit. I think stuff like that's going to happen all the time, the way they link this data.
And that's exactly. Well, and yes. And so then you're going to need more data that's just not just the cell phone company. because they are collecting everything about your phone activity. The phone company just doesn't collect data whenever you're on the phone. They're collecting data constantly, and so are other vendors like Apple and other apps that you install. They're collecting constant GPS data, how fast you're traveling, when you travel. Do you go travel in regular places on a regular basis? Like every Monday morning, I go here at this place at 9 o'clock. All of that is recorded by not just the vendors on your phone, but the phone company itself. So if you're a suspect in a bad case, yes, the cops can get a subpoena and they can look that stuff up. And unfortunately, then it's the burden of proof for you to say, look, I was in a yoga class when this happened. It was in a geographic area that happened to be a triangle of three cell towers that could be a couple miles wide. So therefore, it's not me. It could be somebody within a couple mile radius.
Yeah, then they'll ask you to prove it. Go ahead and do this yoga pose, and when you're not able to, you're done. It's a trap. Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
So going back to, do you remember MySpace? Good old MySpace,
the granddaddy of them all. I'm definitely old enough to remember MySpace.
Well, joining us here is one of the owners of ThrottleNet, George Rosenthal. And I remember MySpace, but I also remember not that long ago, MySpace, which was just kind of there, but people weren't using it. Announced, you know what, all of our stuff disappeared. Like, we had a massive accident and everything was deleted. So how can we, as a society, maneuver a way we can legally delete everything against their will? So just like it happened to MySpace and start from scratch.
Yeah, that I wish. But I'll tell you, 99% of what's out there is out there permanently unless you spend a lot of money, thousands of dollars, to go out and have companies scrape it. And scrape it off. And then they have to request to each vendor that that specific data be removed, changed, or hidden. And that's extremely hard to do. So I've been telling my kids, like, anything you do at this young age, it's going to be with you a long, long time. You know, we grew up in the 70s, 80s, 90s, where there was no internet. So we had a good 30-year start on life before they could collect all the stupid stuff we did back in the day. Now it's all out there collected, and it's permanent. So, and that's how you end up at a concert after a bad decision. And next thing you know, everybody can find you on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere else. Yeah, and that's all through AI facial recognition that wasn't even around 5 years ago. So imagine what we're going to be at in five more years when the average person can pull up an AI app on their phone, take a picture of a stranger and find out who they are.
I need to get these like Macho Man Randy Savage glasses, which kind of hides your identity. Like, I've seen some people, I don't know if this is still a thing, but they would wear something that would scramble the cameras. Basically, it would confuse them enough where they couldn't recognize your face. I mean, you think people are going to wear these camouflage devices in the future to prevent these cameras?
So there'll be countermeasures, I'm sure. I don't know that it goes that far, because I think what we're at right now is that most people have just succumbed to the fact that your tech is out there and it's ready to go. I mean, I have Amazon's dropping off packages in my garage. They open the garage door, drop the package, and close the garage door. And that's the kind of world that we live in. Now, whether you accept that or not, or want that or not, it's a different story. But most of us already have, you know, a smartwatch that's taking vitals, that's feeding those vitals to a health app that's hosted by Apple. So all of your vital information, you think, oh, this is great. I'm collecting my heartbeat and I'm collecting how much oxygen's in my blood. Well, that data is sitting on Apple servers. Then that's then sold to other companies to then collect a pattern on your health, where you go. There's all that personal data. It's very convenient for day-to-day life, but you got to remember it's going somewhere. It's sitting on somebody's servers that's turning that around and selling that data. And then, of course, it's being combined in central locations to build full data profiles on you whenever they need it.
I know. I mean, I've kind of talked about these type of topics, and it's not so much conspiracy anymore than it is reality. And
it is,
what
they
are capable of doing is just frightening, honestly, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very convenient to have a diabetic monitor on your arm that then talks directly to your doctor to feed you data, or your pacemaker can talk to your phone that feeds directly to your doctor in case of an emergency. These are wonderful, wonderful advances in technology, as long as everyone understands that data is not just going directly to your doctor. It's going to a cloud server that somebody owns and is storing that data, then feeding it to your doctor. Your doctor has no control over that data sitting in the cloud.
Yep. All right. If people wanted to look you up, maybe they got questions or some of the services that you offer at ThrottleNet, where can they go?
Absolutely. It's throttlenet.com/971. So at throttlenet.com/971, there's a video of the dark web. We did a 14-minute tour. I would highly recommend watching that. As an adult, definitely don't let your kids watch it because they can get on the dark web and they're in your house. So don't want that.
Did you find Hoffa on the dark web?
No, but there's a lot of really bad stuff out there, along with a lot of stolen data. But you'll be able to see what kind of stuff's out there and how it's accessed through Bitcoin.
All right. Throttlenet.com/971. George Rosenthal, thank you again for joining us here. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. It's great talking to you guys. Have a great rest of the week.
We got ourselves the cut of the day coming up as we get ready to wrap up the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. Got a couple more minutes here before we say goodbye. And I got to tell you, it's always so much fun and we always learn so much. I feel like it's the end of Mr. Rogers. You feel good. You feel like, you know, it's been a good day. You've learned so much. You've shared with other people. So it's always an honor to be here with you at Ryan Recker if you want to follow me on Twitter. All right, how about we do the cut of the day?
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And what we try to do is figure out how long these trade negotiations are going to go on for. It's going to be extended. I think the markets were up today. Let me see. I believe they were. And when I look at that, even though we're going through these trade deal negotiations, Dow Jones was up 179 points. NASDAQ was down 81. S&P 500 about flat. So Dow Jones is just flirting with record territory. These other markets, they keep bumping into it or going into record territory over and over. It goes to show you that I think there's a lot of confidence in the American economy. Maybe not for the American dollar, but the economy. So just imagine how much it's going to pop when all these trade deals get in. Let's look at this clip number 18 with Scott Bessent.
We're about to announce a rash of trade deals in the coming days, and a lot of these trade deals are going to include substantial investments in the U.S., whether it's autos, semiconductors, and pharmaceuticals.
Scott is right, because when you get all of these different deals on the board, just like last time, once some of these different trade deals, at least the rumors of it came in, it seemed like it reversed trend, but people aren't really as scared of it, at least investors aren't, because they understand there is an end game and there could be some benefit to this in the long run. So I think he's right. So there we go. Trade deals on the way. Let's hope it gets there sooner than later. But just imagine the rumor of it is going to send Wall Street through the roof whenever that happens. And we'll see most likely Dow Jones go into record territory right at that very moment. You know, this is stupid. Can we play clip 22 again just because I want to hear Trump use the term numbskull?
I think he's done a bad job, but he's going to be out pretty soon anyway. In eight months, he'll be out. But he's I call him too late. He's too late all the time. He should have lowered interest rates many times. People aren't able to buy a house because this guy is a numbskull. He keeps the rates too high and probably doing it for political reasons.
All right. You know, I don't know why that's so funny to me to hear him use those terms. Oh, I miss the days when I used to have a button bar and I'd just be able to push that whenever I want. All right. Well, thanks for spending time here. And if you want to reach me at Ryan Recker on Twitter, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. It's the Mark Reardon Show. Thank you guys for making it so easy on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.